Y'all ready? Let's go. Black people unite. For Sandra Bland. For Trayvon Martin. For Eric Gardner. For Michael Brown. Say her name, y'all. Listen. Fathom of people that's fractured in bones of West Africa. Trapped in a burden that's chained to the dias. Middle passenger, captioned and framed in name.
My name is Akua Naru. I am an activist, hip-hop artist, performer, friend, sister to the world.
And a poet. So the first question is, how were you as a teenager? Were you shy? Were you sociable? Do you have friends? Were you more like alone?
Yeah, I was always very social. I was really blessed to be in different arts programs, like different programs that were like city programs that put me in a network of other young people who lived in different neighborhoods and who went to different schools. So I was like able to be in different cliques. So it was like I had a group of friends that at my school, and then I had groups of friends in different cliques from other schools, and I was friends with everybody. To be honest, I don't know how it started because my mother would be better at telling the story, but like my earliest memories, like the earliest things that I remember involve me like being read to, you know, someone reading to me or talking, telling stories. And then ultimately, as someone who loved to read, I started to write because that was like the next step. I was very young. I mean, my mother would say that actually it was no one really ever taught me how to read. It was just like a natural thing. I was always looking for words, asking how to spell things, putting things together. I used to carry around a dictionary that my father gave me. And whenever there was a word that I didn't know, maybe like sevens, when I was like five, six, seven, I would look up the word, write it down, practice. I was always reading something. And then naturally from that, I started to write poems. Little short poems, and I was really blessed to be in a family that really supported that. So like every time I wrote something, when people came over, my mother would be like, oh, read that for them, what you wrote, you know, perform that, what you wrote, you know. So I always sort of grew up with an audience, like inside the house, you know. That was something that was celebrated. For example, I have an uncle that's very close in age, like my mother's youngest brother, and he used to like make beats and stuff, and I used to write rhymes. At some point, you know, when hip-hop was so contagious and I used to write poems, those poems used to rhyme, and at some point they became raps, and I would like rap them. And then sometimes like my mother or my cousins, we would throw parties like in the backyard and charge people like a quarter to get in, and adults would come and we would be rapping and performing for audiences. So when I was really, I mean, I've always had an audience like in the living room, in the kitchen. It might've just been my aunt, my grandmother, my uncles, my cousins, other kids that grew up in the neighborhood. And then it became like really the neighborhood, like the people that lived across the street, the ones that lived around the corner, the people that lived in the same complex. They would come, their parents would come, they would pay a quarter. They would also perform sometimes. And then when I was a teenager, like I said, I was in the arts programs. So let's say we would have a talent show at the school and I would perform because my friends wanted to dance, but I'm not a dancer, I can't dance, but I just do it and be shy. But when it came to like writing poetry, writing stories, you know, writing a monologue, writing a play, what was really important for me is that I was in a program called City Kids. It was a program based in Manhattan, New York City. And it was a program that had like a repertory theater company. So you could audition to be a part of the repertory theater. And I came in like as a writer. So that was the first time as a teenager, maybe I was from 15, I would write, for example, I could write a play. Like I would write among a group of other teenagers. It would be like, let's say a play about police brutality. I started it because a friend of mine had introduced me to this program where every Thursday night we would come and meet with kids from all over the city. These were like young people of color, you know, blacks, Hispanic, you know, Latino youth. We would come together and it would be like an organized conversation about political issues. So now that I think about it, we were being trained towards having a critical lens and towards activism. So we would discuss gender. We would discuss issues like abortion, police brutality, how to behave when you're confronted with police, what were your rights. We would talk about different gender identities. We would talk about racism, white supremacy, colonialism, very hard topics. And these would be conversations that would be led by people who had lived during the civil rights era, people who used to be Black Panthers, people who were professional musicians, different artists or whatever. And so that was one thing. So we had that. And then from there was a repertory theater. They had a real studio, like with a real analog desk, real producers. And that was the first time that, you know, I heard my voice on the microphone through real speakers. I mean, at 15 years old, I could write a song and other people would sing it. And to be able to see the power of my art, like, I mean, I wrote a piece that was performed at Webster Hall in Manhattan at 15 or 16 years old. I saw that I could write something and it was good and it could be appreciated by my community and people outside of the community. And I think that's one thing that really, really built my confidence now that I look back as a young artist, to be in an environment like that where I was supported and I was being nurtured as a young writer and I was being trusted. So I didn't have to question myself that was this good or not. If it wasn't good, why would I be at Webster Hall? And I think that was something, now that I look back, that was extremely important for my life. And a lot of the artists that I met at that time, we're still friends to this day.
When they're not talking about sex, when they're not talking about relationships, when they're talking about power, when they're talking about suffering, when they're talking about what it means to be a Black woman, in a way that maybe doesn't make every brother on earth thrilled to hear it right away. Those women are harder to get heard. Those women have a harder time getting the mic, getting appreciated for being on the mic, and for being understood as part of the sort of metaphorical cipher.
I grew up with a family who celebrated me. When I wanted to write and share, there was always an opportunity. I always had an audience of people who were like, wow, that's beautiful, and asked me questions about what I was writing, what I was thinking and feeling. And my mother would get a bus and charge people tickets and drive with 40 people to wherever I was performing, and they would show up with signs and they would go absolutely bananas for me. And that protected me. So then when I became an adult and I saw that there were people who said that you can't do this, it was so ridiculous to me. Like, are you crazy? It was just like somebody saying the world is flat. That's absolutely absurd. And I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Do you make boundaries in between poetry, hip hop, or rap? Or is there a crossway in between?
For me, it's all poetry. So I write rap like it's poetry. But I think one difference is just the rhythm. Because, like, if you take Tupac and you say, like, when I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Like, what's the difference? The first part feels like spoken word because of how we engage the rhythm. And I think that's the difference between like spoken word poetry and rap. Rap is just a form of poetry. You know, it's in the performance, but it's all poetry at the end of the day.
Thank you. butterfly flew away from me. I wait patiently by windows and doorsteps.
The music is always about love. It's always about justice. It's always about my people. So I center my people. I center black experience. I center black womanhood in my music. It's always about that. It's always about our story. It's always about how history imposes itself on the present and the questions that we ask now in the present for the way forward. It's about all of those things. And I don't know if I'm trying to, you know, I'm telling a story. And it's such a wide and deep pool as a black woman, a pool of experiences to tell. I'm just telling a story within it. And it's about so many different things, so many different aspects of that experience.
To the freedom of your prison existing, the same space, same time. Combine until your thoughts slow grind with mine. Combine until your thoughts slow grind with mine.
I would say the best advice, and I mean, maybe it sounds cliche, but the best advice that I could give would be, you know, when you close your eyes, there's a voice inside. Something inside of you that tells you, no, this is wrong, or this is right, or this is who I am, or this is not who I am. And I feel like work to be in tune with that voice, because this world is beautiful, but it can be very cold. And when you're making music, it's easy to look at other artists and to think that their life is perfect, or they're doing this A, B, C, and D. And it's easy to think, some people are doing this, some people are doing that, so let me start doing this because that's a way for me to be heard. And I think my advice would be to make sure that you work to continue to hear that voice and to stay true to that voice. Because trends, you know, like what's hot right now, it ain't going to be what's hot 6 months from now. What's dope today won't be dope 2 years from now. What you can do is always stay true to whatever that voice is and to who you are regardless. And I think that's the most powerful advice that to give, being true to yourself.
You more than madly wrap these legs around your words until your speech is straddled deep gladly. Swim the current of your vibration, be separate and one with the same meditation.